From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. After a long wait, medical marijuana could start being prescribed in Maryland this year. Patients awaiting the drug welcome the rollout, but it will be a thorny problem for employers. Under federal law, marijuana remains illegal. So what does medical marijuana mean for workplace drug testing? We hear from Dr. Ryan Vandry of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, who studies marijuana. He explains the science of drug testing and the pitfalls.
It's at this point impossible to differentiate someone who used cannabis at their house the night before versus used it a couple hours previously on the job and is under the influence.
Plus, Maryland employment lawyer Julie Janofsky joins us on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Maryland officially legalized medical marijuana in 2014. Last year, the state finally awarded licenses to grow, process, and sell medical marijuana. It could hit the shelves this year. Patients awaiting the drug welcome the rollout, but it will present a knotty problem for employers. Under federal law, marijuana remains illegal. So what does medical marijuana mean for workplace drug testing? That's the focus of our show today. Later, we'll hear from a Maryland employment attorney about issues for employees and job applicants as well as employers. But first, Dr. Ryan Vandry, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, joins us. He has served as an advisor to the state of Maryland on the development of medical cannabis programs. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Vandry, what is the most accurate procedure for testing for marijuana use?
Well, that really depends on what your focus and what your purpose is. But typically, testing involves urine collection sample and testing for a metabolite of THC, which is the primary psychoactive component of cannabis.
So it's using a urine sample. Is that what most workplaces use?
Most workplaces use urine, correct. Now, in other circumstances, blood or saliva can also be used.
How long does marijuana stay in the system?
It depends on how frequently you use it. So a single use will typically stay and be detectable for several days, but the window of detection really depends on what you're testing. So for urine, a single exposure can be detectable for up to about a week. In saliva, a couple days, and in blood, maybe only a few hours. With repeated use, the window of detection lengthens.
So if I am a more regular user of marijuana, it can be caught in my system for a longer period of time.
Correct. For example, if you're a daily user, some people use cannabis every day, a urine test may remain positive for up to 2 months. So what happens is the chemicals in cannabis that are used to detect use are stored in fatty tissue in the body. As you burn fat, these chemicals continue to be released into your bloodstream and excreted through your urine.
Is there any way to tell whether a person is currently under the influence of marijuana?
Not through urine testing, blood testing, or saliva testing. So in order to try to determine whether somebody's under the influence of cannabis, you'd need some combination of biomarkers. But the most accurate way of determining whether somebody's impaired is to conduct behavioral assessments for impairment. And that would be evaluations of cognitive ability, asking people, do you feel a drug effect right now? You know, unfortunately, that's a very tricky thing with cannabis. Because the drug stays in your system and is detectable for so long, there's no good objective way of determining whether somebody's intoxicated at the moment. There's some nuances there. I want to try to explain that a little bit. There would be cutoffs in blood that we could be fairly confident that people are under the influence at one moment.
I don't know what you mean by a cutoff in blood.
So a certain concentration of THC in the blood. The problem with that is that that will give us a true positive, but there are many examples of where we would have a false negative. So the method in which cannabis is consumed can have a significant impact on biomarkers. For example, if somebody inhales the drug via smoking or vaporization, then they receive a big bolus of the drug all at once. It gets absorbed through their lungs into the bloodstream, and it's detectable at high concentrations for about an hour, maybe 2 hours. However, if they eat or swallow the drug, then the drug gets very slowly absorbed. And because it gets stored in fat cells and absorbed into tissue pretty rapidly, you don't see very high concentrations at all in the blood. So people can be intoxicated through eating cannabis, but it would not be detectable on traditional drug tests with blood. The other challenge with that is that with inhalation, you get the high initial bolus of the drug in blood. But usually if you're going to test somebody to see if they have those high THC concentrations in their blood, it takes an hour or two to get somebody to a point where they can have blood drawn, by which time the blood levels have decreased back to zero.
So I'm trying to think through if an employer's interest in doing drug testing, let's talk about testing existing employees. Let's put the job applicant situation aside for a minute. If an employer wants to try to encourage safety in the workplace by making sure employees are not high, what is the test that can do that in terms of marijuana?
There currently is no test that can differentiate use from current intoxication. So if an employer wants to make sure that their employees are not intoxicated on the job, the only foolproof method of doing that right now is to require them to not use at all. And so that's one of the challenges with the changing regulation of cannabis, both as a medical therapeutic and in some states as a recreational or non-medical use product, is that it's at this point impossible to differentiate someone who used cannabis at their house the night before versus used it a couple hours previously on the job and is under the influence.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Dr. Ryan Vandry, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He studies marijuana, and we're talking about the implications of the legalization of medical marijuana for drug testing in the workplace. Is there any research ongoing into whether you can tell whether somebody is currently under the influence of marijuana? I mean, with so many states
yes.
having legalized medical marijuana, I would think that would be a really hot topic.
Yes, it is. And in the criminal justice system, that's kind of the golden goose right now. So there are a number of researchers interested in trying to determine methods of reliably detecting acute intoxication on cannabis. One of the challenges there is that the traditional roadside field sobriety type things that we use for alcohol are not sensitive to the acute effects of cannabis. So at Johns Hopkins, we recently received a grant to evaluate novel kind of field sobriety type assessments to bring to bear on that, and also to evaluate novel biomarkers that have yet to be explored, both in blood and urine and in saliva. There are companies trying to develop breath testing technology that can differentiate current intoxication versus residual or past use. But to date, those technologies haven't been shown to be sensitive enough to differentiate new from old use.
Give me a sense of the relative risks of driving or operating heavy machinery while high from marijuana versus from alcohol.
There are definitely risks associated with the use of cannabis while driving a motor vehicle or operating any other type of heavy machinery. The research has shown an increased risk for getting into an accident. The types of cognitive impairments that we see in the laboratory that are related to driving are alterations in psychomotor performance, so you're kind of physical ability to respond, attention is impaired, specifically the ability to respond to an unexpected stimulus like a deer running across the road. In higher order cognitive functioning and decision-making is also impaired. Now, you tend to see a little bit different approach to driving with people under the influence of cannabis versus alcohol, where alcohol makes you a more aggressive driver. Cannabis tends to do the opposite, where people tend to drive a little bit slower and a little bit more conservatively, but the increased risk for an accident has definitely been demonstrated.
Am I right that the potency of marijuana has increased over recent decades?
Yes, potency has increased, and it's increased substantially. But people often confuse potency for dose. So potency doesn't necessarily equal increased dosing for individuals, because you can have a more potent form of cannabis and just use less of it. The increase in potency, however, could make it a little more difficult for users to titrate the dose that they deliver.
Medical marijuana has been legalized in 27 states plus Maryland plus the district, recreational marijuana in 5 states plus D.C. What are employers doing about drug testing in those other states, do you know?
Well, there's different approaches to that. In most cases, employers are able to use their discretion regarding drug testing. And as the social acceptance of cannabis use has been changing, I think that there's been a little bit of a trend towards employers relying more just on initial drug testing at the time of employment and a little less continued testing during employment unless they see an issue or a problem, or except in circumstances where someone's employed and is required to drive or operate an airplane or a helicopter. Those types of jobs where people need to really be on point, there's continued drug testing. But in the states where the cannabis is legalized either for therapeutic or non-therapeutic purposes, it's still employers' rights to conduct drug testing with their employees and mandate that they not use that product. Now, I did read recently that the state of Maine has been the lone exception to that, where with the new law allowing non-medical use in the state that I think took effect within the last couple weeks, they have a clause and a provision in their law that prevents employers from not hiring individuals based solely on a positive marijuana drug screen.
You co-authored a study in 2015 that indicated secondhand marijuana smoke can also trigger a positive drug test. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's been a controversial topic for a number of years, and we wanted to try to bring some science to bear on exactly that question. If you're just near cannabis smoke, can it impact a drug test result? And what we did is we conducted a controlled laboratory experiment where we exposed individuals to secondhand cannabis smoke in a small room, and we varied the potency of the cannabis that was consumed and the ventilation through the room. We found that if the room was ventilated, secondhand smoke exposure was relatively minimal and did not have a very substantial impact on drug testing, given the most commonly used metrics in terms of concentration cutoffs in urine and in blood and in saliva. But if the ventilation was closed off and the room was essentially sealed shut, we did see pretty substantial exposure. We had people report secondhand smoke drug effects, so kind of contact highs. And we did observe positive drug tests in all three sample types, so urine, saliva, and blood. The urine testing, which is the most commonly used in workplace drug testing, we only saw one single positive test, though. So it's not likely, it's not going to last for very long. Most of the positive samples we observed were within the first 24 hours. Outside of the 24-hour period, there were some detectable cannabinoids in blood and in saliva, but not in urine.
How long does that exposure have to last?
In our experiment, we exposed people for 1 hour.
Are you aware whether anybody is using your research as a defense of either being fired or being...
I do get calls by lawyers.
Do you testify?
I have, yes. The majority of those have come from folks in the military.
The drug testing systems we have, are they prone to false positives?
They're prone to both false positives and false negatives. And so a lot of times false positives stem from ingestion of a substance that has cross-reactivity to the drug test. The common example there is someone who eats a lot of poppy seeds and then tests positive for an opioid on a drug screen. For cannabis, there's not much in the way of other substances that you can ingest that would trigger a false positive. I mentioned the false negative because that's possible depending on how you're testing for the drug. So again, the oral route of administration produces very low concentrations of THC in blood. So if blood is the method of testing, you're not likely to see a positive effect.
There's an entire industry of supplements that supposedly help people pass drug tests despite having used marijuana. Do any of those supplements actually work?
Traditionally, a lot of those things were designed to help dilute or alter the chemistry of a urine sample. And the testing industry is almost as big and probably more lucrative than the getting around it industry. And so they've developed analytical techniques that test for the concentration of the urine, the specific gravity, and the pH in urine to help detect some of those adulterants and some of those methods of getting past a drug test.
The Obama administration typically turned a blind eye to what was going on in the states as regard to marijuana laws. Do you have any sense of what might happen under the Trump administration?
This is a tricky question to try to answer. There's speculation that with Jeff Sessions being tabbed as Attorney General, there will be a more prohibitionist approach to cannabis. On the other side, I've heard mention within this space that potential nominees for head of the FDA might make drug approvals easier. It's unclear how any of that is going to impact cannabis policy directly. From my standpoint, the fact that over half of the U.S. currently has state-level legislation allowing for the use of cannabis for medical and in some cases non-medical purposes, it's going to be very difficult to try to roll the clock back on all of that. Not to say that that couldn't happen. Ideally, in my mind, the best case scenario is that the federal government actually takes this over. The problem with the current framework is that individual states are trying to do the job of federal agencies like the DEA and the USDA that ensure appropriate quality control and manufacturing practices for medicine and agriculture, and those things are not in place at the state level despite states' attempts to do so. I just don't think that they have the expertise and the infrastructure to actually get the job done and get it done right. So it would be nice for the federal government to kind of step in and take ownership of this given how far it's gone forward. I don't think this is an experiment any longer. It's becoming part of our culture. And to kind of make this transition of cannabis from an illicit drug of abuse to whatever it's becoming now, to make that transition in the best way possible and to put some science forward to really guide and steer decision making and regulations.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Ryan Vandry is an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He studies marijuana. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now, and then when we're back, we'll speak with an employment lawyer about what medical marijuana will mean for workplace drug testing. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the rollout of medical marijuana in Maryland and what it might mean for workplace drug testing. Before the break, we heard from a medical researcher about the logistical difficulties of testing for marijuana use. Now we turn to employment attorney Julie Janofsky. Welcome to On the Record.
Hi, Sheila.
How common is drug testing in the workplace in Maryland?
It's very common. Employers use drug testing as a tool to weed out applicants and also for their current employees.
What are the laws governing workplace drug testing in Maryland?
Employers are permitted to do drug testing as long as they use an approved sample. The approved samples for testing in Maryland are blood, urine. Blood and urine can be used on existing employees. Hair sample testing can only be used on applicants as well as the other two samples.
Describe to me what the typical workplace drug test in Maryland is.
Well, employers in Maryland have several options about what types of workplace testing to use as long as they use an approved sample. Employers can do pre-employment screening. They can also do random screening of existing employees. They can do post-accident screening of employees who are involved in workplace accidents or traffic accidents on the job. And they can do screening for employees for whom they have a reasonable suspicion that the employee might be involved in drug use on the job.
And do employers tend to run a screen for several illicit substances on any given sample?
Yes.
What are they testing for most often?
They test for opioids and also for marijuana, as well as for prescription medications.
What complications does the legalization of medical marijuana in Maryland present?
Even if marijuana is legalized in Maryland, it is still on the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration's list of banned substances. It is still a Schedule I narcotic under the Controlled Substances Act, meaning that it cannot be used under federal law for any purpose, not even medicinal purposes. Because of that, employers, even in states where marijuana is legal, still have the right to insist that employees test negative for marijuana on employment-related drug tests. And they also have the right to insist that employees show up to work not under the influence of marijuana.
So in a way, then, you're saying the federal law gives employers all the same rights they ever had to test for illicit substances. And so the fact that Maryland has set up a medical marijuana regime doesn't really change the picture for employers who want to test for drugs.
Well, what I'm really saying is that the Maryland drug testing laws haven't quite caught up to the issue of legalization of marijuana. So employers really haven't been given any guidance as to how those laws might impact their drug testing programs. And in fact, they don't have any prohibitions on continuing to test for marijuana, even if it is legalized in Maryland.
Looking at medical marijuana, anyone using marijuana under that regime would have a prescription from a doctor. So if an employee were to present that script to a prospective employer, doesn't that solve the problem?
Well, employees might be reticent to disclose prior to a drug test that they are on medical marijuana because, let's face it, marijuana, even medical marijuana, is still a banned substance under federal law.
After the employee has tested positive for marijuana, at that point, if the employee presents a prescription and says, look, it's legal, is it? I get that it's still federally not legal, but would that change the employer's rights to terminate or not to hire?
Well, the short answer is no, it wouldn't change the employer's rights. Even if medical marijuana were treated the same as legal narcotics from the employer's perspective, the employer still has a right to demand that the employee show up to work free of legal narcotics in their system and that they not work under the influence of legal narcotics. So if the employee tests positive for medical marijuana, the employer can still say, sorry, we insist that all our employees show up to work free of marijuana in their systems and that they're not under the influence of marijuana while they're working for us. And I think that's a very, very tough problem for the employee to overcome if they test positive.
I imagine medical marijuana is especially thorny for employers who hire people to drive big vehicles or operate heavy machinery. Is the drug testing law any different in those cases?
Drivers of heavy trucks and buses are usually covered by the Department of Transportation regulations. And the Department of Transportation has a whole different array of other drug and alcohol testing rules that those drivers would be subject to. And they are subject to federal law. And again, we're back to the problem of marijuana use not being recognized as legal under federal law.
I really appreciate you walking us through this. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Julie Janofsky is an employment attorney representing employers and employees. Earlier, we heard from Dr. Ryan Vandry, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, who studies marijuana. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been with us today. Join us again tomorrow.